Can I pro? Amen. Father, as we go into the study of your word once again this afternoon, Lord, open our eyes to see in Jesus' name. Bless us with more of you, Father, as we continue this service. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Okay, we are looking at something interesting today. Spiritual blindness is the topic of our exhortation. Spiritual blindness. Blindness is a very terrible condition any man or woman can have. Blindness is very bad. People with visual impairments, they go through a lot. When you see anyone that has visual impairments, as it is called today, they go through a lot. They deserve all our support. However, as terrible as physical blindness may be, spiritual blindness is worse. And there is such a thing as spiritual blindness. Blindness is terrible. Let's see some definitions of blindness according to the dictionary. When I opened my dictionary, I saw several definitions, but I picked just four because of time. The definitions of blindness. It said, when one is unable to see or partially able to see. When somebody is unable to see or partially able to see, such a one is blind. When one fails to recognize, acknowledge, or perceive, another definition, failing to recognize, failing to acknowledge, or perceive, such a one is blind. When there is no opening for light or passage, such a one is blind. And then another definition that I picked, it says when one is acting without regard to evidence, logic, or reality. Acting without regard, and evidence is in front of you, but you are choosing to act without it, they will say you are blind. And so on and so forth. It has several definitions. The dictionary I used gave about 9 different definitions of what blindness is. I'm sure there could even be more. Blindness is very bad. To be unable to see, to be unable to recognize, or to even, not that you can't even see, sometimes you partially see. There was a story of a man in the Bible who the Bible said he saw men like trees in Mark chapter 9. Let's quickly read that story. The Lord Jesus healed him. Mark chapter 9. The healing at Bethesda. Is it Bethesda or Bethsaida rather? Mark chapter 8 or chapter 9. The blind man. Okay, Mark 8:22. Bethsaida. The blind man that was healed at Bethsaida. I love this story because it's so instructive. And he cometh to Bethsaida and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Verse 23, read on. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, the Lord Jesus now is asking him, he asked him if he saw aught. Do you see? And the man looked up and said, I see men as what? As trees. Go back to verse 24, please. As trees walking. Brethren, can you not say he's seeing? That was why verse 25, the Lord Jesus had to pray for him again. He said he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And this time he was restored. And what did he do? He saw every man clearly. So you can see what blindness is. Not just because he could see. How can you say man is like tree? That means if you have a stone and you want to pluck a fruit, you will go and stone somebody's head and you say you are stoning a tree. Does he see? Is he as blind can be? So blindness is not just when you are not seeing. When you fail to see the truth also, you are blind. Are we together? Now that is it for natural blindness. But spiritual blindness is our topic of discussion this afternoon. Spiritual blindness is terrible. Whereas physical blindness can deny you a lot of things. There are many, many blind people that are more talented than even people who can see clearly. I know of a young man, he might be watching online now. He's a member of the church. I think he stays in Oyo. He's part of our youth fellowship. He's visually impaired, but very intelligent. A graduate. And he operates an Android phone. Professor Sidney, youth president, you know who I'm speaking of. But very intelligent. But intellectually very sound. But that visual impairment, that disability has cost him several opportunities. Someone that with the kind of wisdom and intellect God has given him, he should be a hot cake in several corporations, but he's discriminated against. So blindness is terrible. But this same young man is completely established in the truth. So whereas he's physically, visually impaired, spiritually, he can see. Praise the living God. So physical blindness, as bad as it is, because, Brother Nonso, please come forward. Close your eyes. You're going to walk with me. Wait, when I tell you to start moving, no, open your eyes. Why did they follow me? They open your eye. You're going to walk with me. Now walk forward. Don't open your eyes. This is what spiritual blindness can do to somebody. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 15:14, that if the blind lead the blind, what will happen? Both shall fall into the pit. Physical blindness has its limitation only to our natural life, our natural world. But spiritual blindness is more terrible. And brethren, this is necessary because spiritual blindness is common in our generation. In fact, some people could be listening to me this morning who are spiritually blind. And I pray that any of such person, the Lord will open your eyes in Jesus' name. Sometimes you don't even know we are blind. That is why we need a message like this. When we preach in this church, it is never to condemn. It is to always let you know that there is error and there is truth. There is wrong and there is right. To also let you know that God has a standard of acceptance, and anyone who doesn't measure up, he will never be accepted by him. Are we together? Spiritual blindness, in my own definition, is the inability to see God. The inability to see his word, the inability to see his works, and the inability to perceive his truth. Physical blindness is the inability to see. You cannot see the physical world. Or when you see, you can't see clearly. You'll be like the man of Bethsaida that is seeing men as trees. But spiritual blindness is the inability to see God. The inability to see his word. The inability to see his works. And also the inability to perceive his truth. When one is spiritually blind, God can be passing. God can be moving. And the person can still be looking for God. Are you with me? What I want to drop this morning is quite simple, but it's necessary for our salvation, for our spiritual progress. When one is spiritually blind, God may be around him, and yet he may not see God. When one is blind, God may be doing a work, and the person may not see that God is working. When one is blind, God can be passing, and the person will say, "But where is God now? Where is God?" And yet God is with you. May you not be spiritually blind in Jesus' name. The danger of spiritual blindness is that it causes a person to miss God and to reject God's word, to reject his truth. That's the danger. Spiritual blindness is not a good thing. It is the inability to see and accept truth. Are we together? But we're in a generation where many people may be saying, no, I can see, I can see, I can see. But the truth is, spiritual blindness is common. Very common. I love the story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 17. Can we read it? Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such shall my camp be. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou passest not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God sent, told him of, and warned him of. And he saved himself there, not once, not twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servant and said unto them, come, you people should tell me, which one of us is spying for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedroom. And he said, okay, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, in this particular scripture, there are two kinds of blindness that we will see. Fear not. I've not finished verse 16, please. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. But I thought he was seeing before. But the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. May the Lord open your eyes in Jesus' name. And what did he see? The mountain was full of horses, and not just horses and chariots, but this particular chariot, they are chariot of fire round about Elisha. So how will he fear again? He cannot be afraid again because his eyes are open. When he saw the enemies at first, he was scared. But when his eyes were open to see what was around him, no more fear. Verse 18, I'm going somewhere. And when they came down to him, now Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee. With what? I'm driving a point home. Smite them with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And he said unto them, Elisha now came to the people looking for him. This is not the way. Neither is this the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man that you are looking for. The man that they are looking for became their director. But he led them to Samaria. Uh-huh. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, open the eyes of these men, Lord, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria, surrounded by the soldiers of Israel. If not for the intervention of Elisha, the king of Israel would have killed all of them. But the question is, when Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, smite them with blindness, he didn't close their eyes. The only thing is that they've stopped seeing the truth. Is somebody with me? They could still see clearly. But now they were no longer seeing the truth. So they saw Elisha, they saw a man. They saw the man they were looking for. Yet, they could not see that he was the man they were looking for. Brethren, we are talking of spiritual blindness. And we are saying that this blindness is common in our generation. Somebody may say, what do you mean? Are people not spiritual in this generation? Many people are religious, but how many spiritual people or religious people see the truth? Many are like the story of Elisha and the servants of Syria. Let's first establish that all unbelievers are spiritually blind. All unbelievers are spiritually blind. The condition of the whole world today, of the whole unbelieving world, is spiritual blindness. And it is this blindness that has led men into idolatry. And not just idolatry, into establishing all manner of religion. It is the same blindness that has opened the door for every sinful vice of man. Every problem of mankind today can be traced to spiritual blindness. Psalm 82 verse 5. Psalm 82 verse 5. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. What did they do? They walk on in darkness. That's another definition of blindness. Where everything is dark, you can't see light, you can't see color. And because of that, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Is this condition of blindness that Apostle Paul took his time in Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 to explain? What led man into idolatry? He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know the meaning of that? That means the truth is with them, yet they are not seeing it. Because, listen, brethren, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God has showed it unto them. How can you deny the existence of God? He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Even if you fail to look at any of God's creation, there is something in man called conscience. There is a soul, a conscience in man that makes him know that there is a creator. Yet, how many are living? We are still reading. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fool. This is the condition of the world. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And what happened? Idolatry opened the door for all uncleanness. He said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You can read on and on to the end of that chapter. And this began after the flood of Noah. If you look at the history of mankind, there was a reason why God told them, you know, be fruitful, multiply, scatter over the earth. God just judged the whole world and saved 8 people, hoping that through them he will start a new world order where people will not live in righteousness. But by the time you come to the Tower of Babel, man had become blind again. And that blindness is still on till today. Isaiah 44 verse 17 and 18. Very funny scripture. Isaiah 44 verse 17. Isaiah 44. It says, and the residue thereof, if you read from earlier, it's talking about how a man will go to the forest, cut a tree, bring it home, use part of the tree to warm, to cook as firewood, to do this. Then out of it, he will not carve from the same tree that he cut, and will make himself a god, even his graven image. And he will fall down unto it and worship and pray unto it and say, deliver me, for thou art my God. Verse 18. He says, they have not known nor understood. Why? Why would they practice idolatry? He says, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. So when you see people, I saw a video today, a particular state in the Southwest, a particular state that they are doing this, their tradition, and a boy of 10-year-old carried the calabash, blah, 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 walking up and down. So somebody will carve a wood, melt iron, melt brass, melt silver, and form an image and start worshiping it and say, this is my God. Save me, oh Baal. It is a function of spiritual blindness. What about people? You are serving the God of the whole world. You say your God is the creator of heaven and earth. But before you will serve the God, you must travel to a place. You must go to a physical location. And until you go to that location, you are not yet, you are not yet seen as a, a serious adherent of that religion. It's blindness. So the God of the whole world is confined into a little place where everybody must come and worship. You see why many people don't accept religion? Because if you say there is a God, then it should be bigger than the way many people worship him. You carry me when some carry their God. You say somebody is a God and you have to help him to move. It's blindness. Anyone you see living in idolatry is spiritually blind. I'm not just blind. Look at the condition of the world. Violence, evil everywhere. It's still a function of blindness. Racism, tribalism, they're all functions of blindness. Because the blood that flows in a white man is not blue. It is the same red blood that flows in all human beings. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that the whole condition of the world today is spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world, what has he done? Has blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's why one of our songs in this church says, amazing grace, how sweet that sound. It says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Have you ever sat down? Anybody that has a true conversion experience, who is a true Christian? Have you ever sat down to him, you know, in retrospect, how you lived your life before God saved you? You'll be wondering, is it me that was doing the same thing? How many of us have thought that way? It was because you were blind then. See the zeal and the passion that many of us have to serve God now. You'll be wondering, why were you different before? Well, you were blind. You knew no better. A minister is listening to me now. He said, before God saved him, the money he used to spend in club and in drinking, he said, we'll be having a land. Is it Banana Island? And that's how he put it. To let you know how he wasted the wealth he was making before he became a Christian. Those things that we enjoy doing now, you'll be wondering. Now they are even an abomination to you. But before, you were swimming in it because you were blind and you know better. And that's the condition of unbelievers. They can't see. They don't know better. They cannot see the reality of God. They cannot see the truth about life. They can't see that there is an end to man. They can't see that everyone will give an account of himself to God. They can't see that God demands worship. So because they are blind, they will live their lives the way they choose to. But you who can see, your life will be different from the one who cannot see. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. The existence of blindness is what has produced all the religions we have today. Somebody will worship anima, worship a non-living thing. You do this, you do that. It's all blindness. The whole world is full of spiritual blindness. Another example of blindness is Israel, natural Israel. Natural Israel was blind spiritually. And their blindness caused them to miss their Messiah. The blindness of Israel caused them to miss God's visitation. They rejected their Messiah. They lost their opportunity for national salvation because they were blind. Let's see some scriptures. Romans 11 verse 7. Romans chapter 11 verse 7. It says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the elect has obtained it. And what happened to the rest? The rest were blinded. Verse 10, the same Romans 11. This is Apostle Paul quoting Psalm. He said, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Then Romans 11, 25, that popular scripture in this church. It says, blindness in parts. He says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. What has happened? Blindness in part is happened to Israel. Until when? So their own Messiah that was long prophesied came. The Messiah that they were expecting every day, whenever they go to their synagogues and are reading their Torah, the Old Testament, all their teachers will be telling them that our Messiah is coming, our Messiah is coming, our Messiah is coming. But you can see the dangerous effect of blindness. Their Messiah came and they missed their Messiah. Their Messiah came and they rejected their Messiah. Their Messiah came. They were even the ones that crucified their Messiah. The danger of spiritual blindness. What you and I are enjoying today, see how we are all dancing, praising the Lord, is because of His Spirit. Deliverance, healing, and everything taking place. We are enjoying this anointing because we have received the covenant of grace. What we are enjoying, the salvation we are enjoying today, was meant for Israel. It was their blindness that made them reject it. Do you know that when you are blind, you can fight God? Blindness. I say it will make you miss God. A man that is spiritually blind can see God coming and call God Satan. A man that is spiritually blind can see God coming and call God Satan. What was the problem of the Lord Jesus with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He would do miracles. They were seeing God walk. They were seeing the mighty works of God through a man. But they were saying, this is Beelzebub. He's using occultic power. He's using demonic power. It was as a result of blindness. They were blaspheming God because of their blindness. And it reminds me of the things we see in our generation, where a man of God will tell you that when you are baptizing in the name of Jesus, it is the Antichrist spirit that is upon you. Church, is that man spiritually blind? Thank you. Israel missed their Messiah. John chapter 12 verse 40. John 12 verse 40. The danger of blindness. He says, this is why Israel rejected Christ. He said, he has blinded their eyes. They had spiritual blindness. And adding their hearts that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. Let's see Luke chapter 19 from verse 41. Luke 19 verse 41. He looked at Jerusalem, and when he was come near, he wept, he beheld the city and wept over it. What did he say? He said, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Ah, but now they are hid from the eyes. And what will happen? He prophesied what will happen to them. Verse 44. I love verse 44. He says, they will do this, they will do this. They shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children will eat thee. They will not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Brethren, I'm still saying, I say spiritual blindness is dangerous. Spiritual blindness is costly. As religious as the Jews were, the Messiah came, the Messiah did his work, the Messiah passed. They didn't see. They did not benefit from his death because they were blind. They missed the day of their visitation because they were blind. That means God can be doing a work for your benefit, for your good. And because you are spiritually blind, you can despise that work. Because you are spiritually blind, you can choose not to connect yourself to be blessed in the work that God is doing. May you not be spiritually blind in Jesus' name. Another good example of blindness are the men of Sodom. And you know what happened to Israel? Not only did they miss their Messiah, by the time you get to AD 70, they were dispersed, captured and sent to different countries all over the world. And up to today, they are still suffering from it. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Till today, they are still suffering from it as a result of spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness can cost you so much. And I'm not talking of blindness of seeing vision, or that has its own part. That's another one. Because you can be seeing vision and you are yet spiritually blind. That's not what we are talking of. Your vision and all those things cannot, in fact, the just will live by faith. Your vision and all those ones will not help you in salvation. We are talking of seeing truly. Brethren, even salvation begins with the opening of the eyes. You cannot be converted unless your eyes are opened. You and somebody went to a church. You heard a sermon. You came to the pulpit and gave your life to Christ. The other person heard the same sermon and went back. You know, and your friends, you even reach home, he's looking at you, that what happened to this one? Your eyes were opened. His eyes were not opened. One cannot experience true conversion until his eyes. Conversion begins with the opening of the eyes. Are we together? Another example are the men of Sodom. Genesis 19:11. They were blinded by the angels. He said they smote the men that were at the door of the house. What did they smite them with? Oh, church, are you reading with me? They smote the men that were at the door of the house with what? Both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So the same night that Lot and his family left Sodom, the Sodomites did not see them. And that is applicable to us today. We are talking rapture, 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 rapture. We are preparing now. When we go, they won't see us. They may know that some people are missing. But blindness will make them not know that the rapture that the bride of Jesus has been talking for the past 2,000 years has taken place. I hope you know that the Antichrist will use a religious system. You know, there's something I keep seeing. Many people are pointing fingers at Elon Musk. The Bible did not tell us the Antichrist will be Elon Musk. Now, are you saying the Antichrist will definitely use technology? Definitely. Because those signs and wonders and all those things that the Bible says the Antichrist will do, it's technology. The Tower of Babel, it was that technological advancement. They felt they could build a tower also that made them rebel against God. So technology is a tool, but the Antichrist is a religious man. And let me tell you, it is the same religion that you and I are practicing. The Antichrist, he come as a Christian. What will make the whole world see this man as a man of peace, even people carrying Bible, is spiritual blindness. He will take his throne and start his work. And Christians that miss the rapture will still be saying Antichrist is coming, Antichrist is coming, not knowing that they have already entered a league with the Antichrist. Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming. He has done his work, he has gone. Messiah is coming, Messiah is coming. You people killed him. He has done his work and he has gone, and he has still saying Messiah is coming. That is how it will be in the Christian faith. And do they even talk about Antichrist anymore? So when he will start after the rapture, how will they know? It's a function of blindness. And we are talking of mark of beast. All those ones will be after the rapture. Hope you know. But there is a mark of the beast that is already going on now. You know what it is? It's in Ezekiel chapter 9. Let's read it. Let me just bring out something from it. Ezekiel chapter 9 from verse 1. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gates, which lie toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink on by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink on. He had a stamp. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city. Just pick a key from here. Go through the midst of the city, even Jerusalem. Set a mark. This particular mark now is God's own mark. He says, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that are crying for the abominations that be done in the midst. Put a mark upon the men that are fed up with the sinfulness. And he said to the others in my hearing, go after him and smite, kill everybody. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Kill young, kill old, kill women, kill children, kill everybody. But the people that have my mark, don't come near them. And you know what? Begin in my church. Begin in the sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men. You know the meaning of what we just read? Before the mark of beast will go forth, you may remove the scripture. God's own mark will first go. Listen, brethren. Before the mark of the beast will come, God's mark will come. Now, those who will reject the mark of the beast are those that rejected God's mark. Do you know what the mark of God is? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Let's read it. So, Bidia is saying Antichrist is coming, not knowing that there are many Antichrists now. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? That's the mark. Whereby you are marked unto the day of redemption. So anyone who refuses the mark of God now will receive the mark of the beast later. But spiritual blindness will not make people see it. There will be a great disappointment when the lives of many people are over. Because they were religious, they went to church, they were workers in the church, they gave offerings, they gave tithes, they prayed. They even received blessings from God, but they ended up in hell. And spiritual blindness will take you to hell if you are not healed from it. You refuse the mark of God, you receive the mark of the beast. It's as simple as ABC. You see why the most important program, the focus of this church, is Holy Ghost baptism. Holy Ghost baptism. Because that's God's mark. Once it is done, it is at that point you can say, once saved, forever saved. Until you receive that mark, you have not received salvation, or even if you have repented. Are we together? So Israel missed their God because of blindness, and they paid for it. The men of Sodom didn't know that anything was going on until the fire fell from heaven and destroyed Sodom as a function of spiritual blindness. When one is spiritually blind, the person will never see the work of God. The person will never see the word of God. The person will never see God. Spiritual blindness is terrible. But the purpose of this message is not to talk about Israel. Neither is it to talk about the first example, the unbelievers. It's to bring our attention to the spiritual blindness that also exists within the church of Jesus today. Brethren, there is spiritual blindness in the church, and it's not supposed to be. Because part of the work, the ministry of Christ Jesus, is to open the eyes of the blind. But we see a great contradiction. People who have come to Jesus, people who say they have benefited from Jesus and are still blind. Isaiah 42 verse 6 and 7, one of the works of Jesus. Isaiah 42 verse 6, 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 and 7. It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To do what? To do what? Oh, church, you're not reading with me. To do what? That's the first thing, to open the blind eyes. Because if you cannot see, then you can't receive from God. Salvation begins with the opening of the eyes. That is why we say the first work of grace is what? Revelation. It's the opening of eyes. His ministry is to open the eyes of the blind. Yet, believers in the church are still blind. Yet, blindness is still in the church of Jesus. Yet, blindness is still existing, paramount in the church of Jesus. It is a great contradiction. By the time you come to the last church age in Revelation chapter 3 verse 17, this is what the Lord Jesus has to say about the church. One of the problems with the church. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked. You know why I'm laughing? I saw a video this week of that popular doctor in Uyo. Philosophy raised to power 10, where he quoted Isaiah, where the Bible says, I, the Lord, create the light and the darkness. He said, Isaiah was wrong. Firstly, it was not Isaiah talking. Isaiah was prophesying, I, the Lord. I don't know who saw that video. It was trending. He said Isaiah was wrong, that Isaiah did not know what he's saying. And he was saying it in a very derogatory manner. You know why I'm laughing? Because that man is claiming to be revelated. Revelated. So revelated that he's correcting Bible. That is what he's doing now. You're talking of Isaiah. That one is small. Now, there are many things. You saw it. There are many things he has said now. Jesus is not the lion of the tribe of Judah. I don't know who has said that one. There are many things he has said. Where Apostle Paul said, I have received of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11. He said, Apostle Paul did not receive of the Lord. It was Luke that told Apostle Paul. It is a satanic spirit to make people stop seeing this word as God's absolute. That man is of the devil. He's an antichrist spirit. You know the agenda. Let people lose confidence and faith. Let this word. What is the end time message? We are shouting, come back to the Bible. This is the absolute. This is the absolute. But somebody is coming to tell you that the Bible is wrong and is a preacher of Jesus. He's blind. Thank God I did not call anybody's name. Did I call anybody's name? That man is antichrist. 1 John 2:18 says, even now are there many antichrists. That man is one of them. Don't worry, if I do wrong, my daddy in the law will come and correct me. That man is antichrist. I don't even have the patience. It was the caption. Another pastor in Delta State, Reverend Esiri, was angry, was the one replying him. So that was what even made me look at it. Because I cannot look and sit down to a teaching of that man. Everything he's saying is to contradict scriptures. And he's talking big, and then he's blasting everything that is going on in the church so that people will see him as righteous. Then when they come to him, you are making the word of God look like nonsense. Where God say, I, the Lord. If you don't understand, ask God to grant you understanding. Why are you using, is it Isaiah that spoke? Isaiah recorded what the Lord said, I, the Lord. When prophecy should come to you now and say, Brother Humphrey, thus says the Lord, this and this will happen. Is it him that spoke?
No, the Lord.
Isaiah said, I, the Lord. That should be Isaiah 42 or Isaiah something. I, the Lord, form the light and darkness. Isaiah 45, I guess. Let's read that scripture. Is Isaiah 45, rather verse 5 and 6. Isaiah 45. It is blindness. Thank you. I am the Lord and there is none else. Who is speaking? Is he Isaiah? Church, answer me now. I guided thee, though thou hast not known me. Verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am Isaiah. Is that what he says? I am the Lord and there is none else. Now verse 7. This is it. Verse 7. I. Who is the I speaking? I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. Then there's an emphasis. I, the Lord, doeth all these things. You should understand. If you have a question, which evil is he speaking of? The Hebrew word there is ra. He's talking of sorrow, consequences of sin. It's not saying that God is evil, but when you will not wait for God to teach you, you will jump and start correcting even the Spirit of God. What blindness can do. And you know what? These blind people are loud-mouthed. That's the problem in the church. There is blindness in the church today. And this blindness is first among the leaders of the church. The blindness is first among the ministers. The blindness in the church is first among the leaders. And that's the problem. The problem with the Christian faith is largely among the ministers. Largely among the ministers. Isaiah 56 verse 10 is fulfilling in the church. Isaiah 56 verse 10 is fulfilling. It says, his watchmen are blind. The watchmen are the fivefold ministry, the leaders of the church. Now, you know what a watchman is. It's in ancient warfare that you understand the purpose of a watchman. But even in our modern world, when somebody is the watchman, he's supposed to be on a high platform, watching out for what is to come. He's the eye of the people. Are we together? When the watchman sees danger coming, the next thing is he will blow a trumpet and inform everybody so that they will get ready and hide or take necessary defense, necessary precaution. So not everybody could be a watchman. For one to be a watchman, he must have not just that his eyes are open, his eyes must be very sharp and clear. You're not going to use a watchman that cannot see clearly, because you need somebody that can see far. You need somebody that can see far. So watchmen, we are specially selected. Are we together? Watchmen were special. So when they see anything coming, before it reaches the gate of the city, everybody is aware. If it's something good, you'll be wondering. You just came back and then everybody is waiting to welcome you, to receive you. The watchman saw you coming from far. And if it is danger, you think they are coming to take them by surprise. They've seen you ahead, so they've taken defensive precautions. Now, imagine that you have a watchman that is blind. Let me use a boxer. Forget all this film trick that we have seen in Chinese film, where somebody can still be blind and is beating everybody. That one is film trick. In the past, I've seen some Chinese films like that. He's blind, but he's beating everybody. Bring it to real life. Let's see if he can do it. Now imagine a boxer that is blind. Imagine a boxer that is blind. Can he win that match? When a punch is coming, how will he know in what direction? Brachinedu, you are taller than me. Make a less punch. Close your eyes. You don't get strength. No. Now you, I'll be Mike Tyson. You be who? Close your eyes. We won't fight. Close your eyes now. You don't go dodge. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. No worry. Oh yeah, with a fight. With a fight. He won't see, and he cannot dodge. And that is the condition of the church. Those who are supposed to be the watchmen are blind. Like the doctor I just mentioned. If you are listening to that doctor, you will start questioning the Bible. You will not see the Bible as inspired anymore. You will, meanwhile, the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You will not see the Bible as absolute anymore. It is very, very dangerous to the health of the church. Because what the leaders of the church endorse, what the leaders of the church believe, what they preach, what they practice, is what the people do. If all Pentecostal preachers should come back tomorrow and say water baptism is necessary, every Christian will baptize. If all Pentecostal preachers should come back tomorrow and say water baptism is by immersion in the name of Jesus and it is necessary for salvation, every believer will baptize. But water baptism has become a serious subject. ABC of our salvation is now so complex, so difficult. Why? The leaders are blind. That's the greatest problem of the church. Blind watchmen. And it is very, very painful, because if you allow the blind to lead you, Matthew 15:14, we read it earlier, you will fall into the ditch of destruction. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Brethren, be sure that the person leading you can see and can see clearly. Be sure that the spiritual leader you subscribe to, be sure he's not blind. Because if he's blind, he will do you damage. Blindness in the church, especially among the leaders. Why is the Church of Jesus divided? One Bible, one faith, different denominations, different versions of Christianity. It's blindness. It is blindness. The leaders of the church of our time are blind to God's word. They preach for doctrines. They preach as doctrines, doctrines of devils. They are blind to the truth. They teach false doctrines. Leaders of the Christian faith promote ungodly practices. Anything a pastor endorses, the member will practice. Anything a pastor endorses, the member will practice. Anything. I saw a pastor, one of the big pastors in Lagos on the island. I saw the video where he was talking about how men should not wear earrings. He was talking about men should not wear earrings. And he was talking morally and everything. You ended at men. What about the women? Now, in that church, because of what he has said, the men there will not think of putting on earrings. And it's one of those bubbling churches that the one that hosts the concerts all the time. You know him. Thank you. Let me not mention his name. Because he has said that now, nobody that truly follows him and sees him as a pastor, a man, will wear earring. Why are all Pentecostals saying that speaking in tongues is evidence of the Holy Ghost and open your mouth and say anything? It's because the pastors are the ones promoting it. That's the truth. Whatever they lift up, whatever they endorse and promote, becomes the culture for the church. If you want to get a church, get the pastor. Did you hear me? If you want to get a church, get the pastor. That is why it's good to always pray for your pastor. You have a spiritual obligation to pray for your pastor. Because if you say he's leading you, you have subjected yourself to him to lead you. If he leads you to the left, you will go to the left. If he leads you to the right, you will go to the right. Even if you jump out of that boat, sometimes jumping might be too late. Sometimes. A brother in this church is a minister. He was in a church. He received the message here, but he went to another church who they claim believe what we are doing. And what happened? The pastor started going off. Going off from what we stand for. These are our rugged truths. Immediately he saw it in the revelation. God showed him. He jumped out of that boat fast and found himself back here. Don't allow a blind leader to lead you. A blind leader will lead you to destruction. It is one of the things we are facing in the church. But that's for the leaders. Even we ourselves, many of us are blind. That scripture we read, Matthew 15:14, it says, if the blind lead the blind. That means if the blind is leading the one that is not blind, at least he can still see the danger coming and quickly jump out. Is that right? He said, let them alone. They be blind, leader blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. But if the blind is leading somebody that can see, like one video I saw, one man was leading a blind man and they were to cross a gutter. He first crossed, then he removed the wood and turned. Instantly, he saw the man behind him. He was wondering. He turned back, crossed again, removed the wood. That one followed him to let you know that although he's pretending as if he's blind, he can't see. He was seeing clearly. Those glasses just covered his eyes. He was seeing clearly. Or they gave you money to give the blind person. You look at him and put it there. He's looking at you. Spiritually, it's not alone that you're not following a blind leader. You won't even know your leader is blind if you are blind. There is an obligation also for you, the believer, for you not to be blind. If our daddy in the Lord should come tomorrow and tell you people that I'm going to ordain mommy, you know, she's anointed, she becomes mommy Gio, henceforth, we'll start calling her the mommy Gio of the church. She'll start sitting at the pulpit and she'll start preaching. Do you know many people will stand up and clap for daddy? Yes. She can do it. And many sisters that have been looking for the opportunity to be pastors too, they will stand up and start clapping. How many of us will go back to the Bible and say, this is not what Bible says, oh, pastor. This is not what Bible says. Oh. You don't honor any man above the word of God. You don't. If you do, you have opened the door for Satan to wreck your spiritual life. You don't. If our pastor does that, all these corrections that we made concerning Bram, would have continued in that blindness. Many inter-message pastors, followers of the ministry of Bilam, they know these things you are saying, but they did not have the courage to come out and say it. But here is a man, for you to know he's not looking for anything. When he saw that the way we've placed Will Abraham was wrong, he came out and told the whole world, test of sincerity. Even Will Abraham should not be honored above the word of God. And that's what he has done. And you can see spiritually, we are much better. Not all the time you come here and say, Brother Abraham, say, as if Abraham's name is what will take us to heaven. You as the believer, you have an obligation not to be blind. If you are blind, it will do you damage. When your pastor will come and tell you all your salary in January, bring it. It's blindness that will make you go and do it. Many of us practice things that God did not say we should practice in our faith. Just because we hear from our church, our pastor, we go and do it. And it's as a result of blindness. If you are blind, pastors will do you harm. Because majority of the pastors of our time are false. Their belly is their God. Many pastors, the God they are serving is their stomach. Money. Money. I'm telling you this. It's my field, so let me talk. One test that if your pastor should pass, be sure that, God's hand is upon this man. It's a test of wealth. If you know the compromises, and when they see fire on you, the devil knows how to. When we say temptation, some temptation from Satan is even mouth-watering offers. Many pastors have closed the Bible because of money. In this generation, if you rest all your spiritual progress on a man, you're not praying for your eyes to be opened that you can see. I pity you. The believer has an obligation to see and see clearly. Let's see a story in the Bible. In Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul, who was an apostle first? Oh, church, if you know, respond now. Who walked with the Lord Jesus? Who witnessed the death of Jesus? Who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus? But something happened in the book of Galatians. The reason why you must have your eyes open. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 from verse 11. If Paul's eyes were closed, Paul would have been led astray. He says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Why? Because he was to be blamed. Before certain people came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. Nothing like racism, tribalism. We are one in Christ. But when he saw these people come, he withdrew himself and separated. Fear an apostle. You are fearing the Jews who are of the circumcision. Read on. Verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, even Barnabas. Why? Because Apostle Peter is doing it. I don't know if somebody is understanding. The other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Please, we are reading. In so much that Barnabas also was carried away with that dissimulation. But see, somebody whose eyes are opened. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, before them all, what did he do? He preached back the gospel to them. Don't come and tell me, don't come and oppress me by your profile. The, God doesn't honor any man above his word. Peter, you are misbehaving. Paul could do that because his eyes were open. If his eyes were closed, you may remove the scripture. He would have behaved like Barnabas. And all those scriptures, like Galatians 3:26, there is neither Jew, there is neither Greek, you are all one in Christ Jesus, Paul would not have provided those scriptures. And God cannot be stranded. If he sees that he cannot pass through Paul, he would have raised another apostle. Because the truth of God's word must go forward. The believer must not be blinded. As a Christian that is serious about going to heaven, that should be one of your prayers. Open my eyes, Lord. Give me the spirit of revelation. Illuminate me. Ephesians 1:17. That was the prayer of Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Blindness is costly to anyone's spiritual life. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know why it's difficult for many of us to serve God or to think that the message from Bride Assembly is hard? It's because many of us, many people are spiritually blind. It's hard to live a holy life. Many people think we are being fanatics, that we are overdoing our own. We are no fanatics in this church. Come amongst us, you will see that we are social people. We are not fanatics, but we are holy. But your own is that you think to be worldly is to be social. We're not fanatics. We are normal people. We socialize, but we do not break the line of holiness. The reason why you think our own is overdue is that you are spiritually blind. We were not born in the altar of Bread Assembly Church. I was not born in the church. Whatever you are doing, whatever you are enjoying in the world, all of us have our past. We enjoyed it too. Your worldly socialness, we enjoyed it too. In my own case, even as a very young boy. So when you see me standing to preach, don't think I didn't experience the world. I did. And that's always my message to the youth. That is always my message to the youth, that you think you're enjoying life. You think there is nothing there. There is nothing sweeter than having Christ. Why you may think that bride, our own is too much. Sister, brother, it's blindness that is worrying you. Firstly, you don't yet know the effects of the lifestyle that you are practicing. So you think we're overdoing. When you know the effect is destruction, that will first check you. Then secondly, you're not yet seeing the joy in Christ. Blindness. Brother, sister, the reason why you are slack in serving God is blindness. Do you know some people don't give in this church because they think it's the pastor that spends their offering? Bride Assembly. When I talk, believe me, I'll be pastor for this church. And when we talk like this, because of certain information that we hear, if our daddy in the Lord should open his mouth and say some things, you people will be wondering, that is this man a normal man? Because the things he knows, and then he will just stand as if nothing is happening. It was when I started working with him as a PA that I knew that something, this man must have swallowed a jazz to remain the way he is. It's blindness that will make you think that church is politics. Let me come up for bride. Might go this one too. Now you are going to a place where they are not feeding you spiritually. You are going to a church, yet you are having spiritual kwashoko. You are blind. Because you are playing politics with your salvation. It's blindness. Many of us are suffering from blindness in one form or the other. You are serving in the church, But to you, you are doing a favor to the pastors now. So you can't even abide by the laws of the church or the laws of your department. You are bigger than it. It's blindness that is doing you. Because your sight, you think your service is to man. You can't see clearly that whatever we do in the church is unto the Lord. It's blindness. In offering, you give man more than you give God. It's blindness. When some people see you and hear you, Twale Baba, to show that you yourself, you are the Odogu, you will bring out money that in 3 months, both your offerings cannot reach half of it. Just to give men so that your praises will be high. It's blindness that is doing you. When it comes to the work of God, you think that when they say there is a need in the house of God, want to do this, want to do that, it's stressful to you. Because you think, is God your source? If God is your source and there's a work for in his house, except you are not sure it's the house of God. And be sure. If you are not sure, don't give. You drag your feet. It's blindness. You are not seeing that this thing is unto the Lord. What about in our matrimonial homes? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit. Why don't we follow God's formula for marriage? Blindness. You don't see. You don't see that you should love your wife as Christ loved the church. Neither do you see that you should subject and submit yourself. He said, reverence your husband. Be like Sarah, calling him Lord. You don't see. You don't see that. What you see are these feminists on TikTok. Blindness. You know one terrible aspect of blindness, the one that pains me so much, is that when somebody is compromising and living in sin and they cannot see it, that's the most dangerous blindness I know. I was watching all of us during the prayer. Ask God to give you. The first one is, what are you believing him for? See passion, see zeal, see fervency. Then ask God to give you the power to serve him better. So some people were even not talking. Now blindness, so knowing the battle we face with this present world system and this flesh. If the overseer should give us 1 year fasting for Holy Ghost baptism, he deserves it. Because what we face, tomorrow, everybody, they go, we are going to market, we are going to your office. You know what we face when we come in contact with this world. Yet we don't take our spiritual life, prayers for our spiritual progress seriously. Somebody will be living in sin and nothing is checking you. You are blind. That's what blindness can do. If you know the things we see and hear in this ministry, you'll be shocked. But our daddy in the Lord settled it last week when he said it clearly. And he said it was God that told him, for this bulb to shine, there must be 3 wires. The positive, the negative, and the neutral. So if this is a lighthouse indeed, we must have these 3 kinds of people in the church. You say we are Christians, members of the same family. The blood of Jesus is flowing to us. There are some sisters that are not talking to themselves. You are watching me now. You are blind. The same departments, people will be fighting, setting trap for one another. It's blindness. You don't know what it means to be spiritual. Now, having the problem is not even my pain. My pain is that you don't even know. Somebody is living a life that is not pleasing before God and nothing is checking you. Yours is not cataract. It's cataract, glaucoma, and blindness together. Anoint yourselves with eye salves. The Lord Jesus said it in Revelation 3:18, that we may see. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. But every day you are going contrary to Jesus. Jesus lives in hatred. Jesus lives in sin. Jesus lives in gossip. Jesus lives in setting trap. Jesus lives in cheating and lying. But when we start the song now, oh, to be like him. You are blind to see the picture of Christ. So you can't even subject yourself for God to make you fulfill the destiny to be like him. Brethren, the pastor may know you.
the church may recognize you. But please, let the Savior know you too. Let the Savior accept you. Don't be commended by the church and the pastor and think because you are recognized in the church, even a church like this, that's all. Your commendation by anybody doesn't matter before God. If God himself does not commend your life, then your faith is a waste. Don't be blind. Let the Lord open our eyes. Don't be blind to the fact that we are at the end of time. Don't be blind to the fact that Satan is already taking over the world. This stage is being set for the Antichrist to be enthroned. All round. You see this thing called AI? It will be a serious tool in the hands of the Antichrist. Satan is taking over the world. Time is running. If you will not look at Bible, look at world events. So when we say end time, stop thinking we are crazy people that want the world to end. Look at, study world events and let me know whether you see a long future for mankind. Don't be blind to this fact. Because he said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, they were blind. They could not see that God was doing something. They could not see that an ark was being built. They didn't see when they entered into the ark. They didn't see when the angel brought out Lot and his family. And the next thing that confronted them was the judgment. Open my eyes, O Lord. Don't be blind. Don't be blind to God's appraisal of you. But you are open to man's applaud. Don't be blind. One day, the bell for salvation will no longer be rung. I pray that your being connected to a church like this will do you good spiritually. Don't be blind to the facts. I say facts. That God didn't bring you here because he wants to butter your bread, sugar your tea, corn beef your rice. No. All those are side attractions for him to confirm to you the word that is preached from this church. Why God brought you here is for the salvation of your soul. Don't be blind to that. Don't be blind to that. May God open our eyes. Don't be blind to the fact that Satan is using you and you cannot see it. How does Satan use? When he causes you to bring disunity in the church. Anyone that is divisive in the church is an instrument of Satan. Anyone that is divisive, you are in the business of dividing people, causing confusion, disunity in the church. You are specially ordained and anointed by Satan. I'm not saying it to insult anyone. I'm only saying it that you should not be blind to this fact. Don't be blind to that fact. Satan can be using you and you don't know that Satan is using you. And you think because you are still shouting and following the anointing, you think you are okay. Because you are feeling sensation. As God is using us, Satan is also using some people in the same church. Who powers the negative wire to work? Satan. Don't be blind, brethren. Don't be blind to the purpose of God for your life. In closing, spiritual blindness will make you miss God. It will lead people into error and deception. It will result in false worship and idolatry. It will cause you to miss God's visitation. Spiritual blindness will make you unaware of impending judgment. It will lead into compromise and spiritual decline. It causes both leaders and followers to fall into destruction. Spiritual blindness is a terrible condition. Whether in the world, Israel, the ministry, or among believers, it produces disastrous consequences. A blind person cannot walk safely, and a spiritually blind person cannot walk with God correctly. We must seek the Lord to open our eyes. Spiritually blind people will always fall into the ditch of destruction. Psalm 13, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Shall we bow our heads?
Open the eyes of my heart.
Talk to the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see you.
Father, open my eyes anywhere I'm blind.
I want to see you.
Anywhere I'm blind, open my eyes, Lord Jesus.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Open my eyes, Father.
I want to see.
Somebody, take an inward reflection. Take an inward reflection.
To see.
Open my eyes. Open my eyes, O Lord.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and glory.
Father, open my eyes.
As we sing, holy, holy.
Let me see, Lord. Let me see, Lord.
Sing, holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.